He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed. And as we head into the fall of 2022, one announcement that has me interested in getting Jay's opinion, which we will get in a minute, is California's attempt at ending by 100% the sale of fossil fuel passenger cars. I don't think we're going to get trucks. By the year 2035 and require all dealers to sell only electric passenger cars at that point. And will the 10 to 13 states have followed California's regulations often, such as the emissions regulations that California instituted, and it was followed by a lot of the New England states. Will they follow suit too, and what does it portend to the future of fossil-fueled cars? Because I keep hearing on the other side that there's going to be room for fossil-fueled engines by some manufacturers for some time into the future. Jay?
Well, as much as I'm a big partisan of electric vehicles, I'm not sure this is a good thing. I have mixed feelings about it, and I certainly see a lot of loopholes
workaround,
toward ways of quote-unquote importing vehicles into California at that point, or I don't know, maybe a huge market for very freshly used cars. I don't know. I think that, you know, obviously it's far enough in the future that things will start be clearer as we go along. But I have mixed feelings about that. I think that's where the market is going. I think it's a bit of a slap in the face for a lot of people. And I can see why. I'm sure you don't like that idea.
I don't mind it, but I just don't know whether... I'm talking to an awful lot of people who are absolutely not going to stop driving their fossil fuel cars in return for getting an electric vehicle. Now, that may change. You know, we've talked off and on about this for several years as we've watched the electric car market rise steadily, and at some points it's accelerating quite steadily. Tesla has been obviously the electric car banner manufacturer with great success, and they now have a waiting list for some of their models, and they've stopped taking orders for some of their models because they have such demand. And the interesting thing is they have it despite the fact that they ran out of the credits, which they're now going to get back, I believe, on some, if not all, their vehicles with the new EV rules going out. But the question is going to be, I'm going to watch this whole problem of whether or not the infrastructure for electric charging stations is going to be as effectively rolled out as the electric cars are, because the charging rates are getting faster.
I'm going to say something. I'm jumping in. I'm sorry. The only way that this will work, I predict, is if there is new technology.
Well, the technology is going to be new. It's ongoing almost.
I'm not talking about revised. I'm talking about something where you don't have batteries that you need child miners for that don't ever decompose or degrade or whatever the word I'm looking for is, you know, except, you know, like an epoch later. So, I'm talking about there has got to be efficient, green, non-cancer-causing, I hate to use the word green, but efficient, non-cancer-causing technology, quite possibly what's being used. What's the name of that plane? Those big planes that are all electric? Quite possibly what's being considered in there. But that's going to have to... I'm just saying that it's not going to be a fifth generation of a currently existing technology, and I'm willing to bet all comers on that.
Okay, I honestly don't know, and I'm already lost on technology to begin with. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's the best to leave it. We'll see, Joe.
Okay.
In the more foreseeable future, 2023 is right around the corner. Fall is right around the corner, and it is a new model year for car production, and there are a lot of new updated models coming out, a lot of new variants of existing car models, I think, for 23 and 24. And these model year things are a funny thing because, you know, Ford is coming out with a new Ford Mustang that's going to be presented now in September. And it's for some reason, it's a 2024 model year, and they're skipping 2023 altogether. So, new Ford Mustang, new Honda, I'm going in the, you know, disorder here. Honda Accord, a new Honda CR-V, a bunch of new Mazda SUVs, CX-30, CX-50. They're talking about a CX-70 and CX-90. What else, Robin?
Well, help me. Along with all those, you're absolutely right. The manufacturers, they know, they have no end to recreating the vehicles that they are currently producing, fossil fuels or not, while racing headlong into electrifying many of their lines. I'm fascinated by Dodge's theory that they're going to sell more electric chargers. I believe it's the Charger model, because they're going to keep they're going to have piped in V8 sounds available for the user to make their car sound like it's a V8 powered.
Okay, I have to jump in on this one. That is the most ridiculous thing. BMW came with enhanced sound systems that they you know, a few years ago they were putting exhaust sounds through the stereo system.
Something we can all agree on.
Yes, we can all agree on
it. It's ridiculous.
I think Stellantis is making big promises in the electric field, and I still haven't seen anything coming. You know, they're talking about a 500-mile range for the Dodge Charger. We haven't seen. Correct me if I'm wrong, Robin, but we haven't seen a single electric vehicle from the Stellantis group. Actually, that's not true. There are
versions of lots of cars out there, but they're really sort of hybrids. They have 240 battery, or whatever volt it is, 400 volt battery systems that are helping acceleration and giving improved mileage to the fossil fuel end of the thing. But yes, you're right. There hasn't been a totally electric Stellantis product that I have seen anywhere on any dealer lot or on the road. But they're behind. I'm waiting for the new Cherokee to come out. Cherokee, for those who've been listening to me for a long time, is my favorite Jeep model. In the fossil fuel Jeep line, because I don't need 9-passenger seating or 8-passenger seating, and it happens to have an engine in it that gets probably the best mileage of any Jeep product out there, very easily, and it exceeds the window sticker rating on that same engine. But aside from that, there's rumored to be they haven't changed the basic look of it or the size of it, which I've supported. Since it came out in 2014, I'm thinking that maybe there's an electric vehicle process going on for that particular model, but I have not seen any rumors to confirm that. Back to things that are disappearing, and Jay, you own one, is the Ford Transit Connect version of the Ford Transit truck line. The Transit Connects those of us who know them are small versions of the big Transit 150s, 250s, and 350s, but very much for more personalized use, and either contractor-wise or passenger-wise, as they just aren't selling. I believe the sales mark that I saw in the article for this year was sub 16,000, which I guess doesn't make it a profitable vehicle to produce the way the American manufacturers like to. Make money, which is numerically high productions and sales of things. Jay, you love your Transit Connect, right?
Yeah, I do. There never was much of a big market for these small vans in the U.S., unlike in Europe and other parts of the world. And actually, the new Ford Transit Connect, which is named something at Tornado or something like that in Europe, just came out. So the vehicle is not dead. It's just not being sold here in the U.S.
Here in the U.S., correct.
But we all know those small vans are very popular overseas. And you know, all the manufacturers have one. Renault, Peugeot, Volkswagen, diesel versions, gas versions. But you're right. They just don't sell here. We're looking at the alternative for these practical vehicles here is a big pickup truck. And of which there are new models coming out both in the GM lines and Ford lineups, yes. New Ranger, new GM, you know, Chevy, Colorado, GMC, Canyon. Those vehicles have been out for a while. They're the size of a Toyota Tacoma, and they're coming out just updated versions, usually with a turbo 4 gas powered version as an entry level. I'm not sure there are even any other V6s, or certainly not any V8s in those vehicles. But and those are pretty popular. There are also a bunch of new electric pickup trucks coming out. We know that. We've been talking about them quite a bit from GM, from Ford. I just saw a new Rivian up close for the first time here in town, and it was a shiny black vehicle. I walked up to it, and it is beautiful. The SUV version of that truck is going to be a seller. There's no doubt about it. And the truck is nice as a truck. Very well finished. And I'm looking forward to seeing the SUV version of that.
On these
and
electric
I know there
trucks,
will be a couple up here in the northwest corner.
On these electric trucks, the early, as we also said on a recent version of the show, the electric versions of these trucks are so far getting failure marks for any kind of distance capability when they are loaded up and or pulling something near their maximum capacity range. The batteries just don't last very long when you're trying to tow 10,000 pounds. Whether you're on a flat road or whether you're going uphill, it's even worse.
We've gone over this. I mean, I have the same
problem. I don't want to keep going over it. Right now, it's getting an F in my book.
You know, I get half the range with my diesel vehicle when I'm towing, too. I mean, that's just totally normal.
Yeah, but it's not down to 40 miles or 70 miles, which is what happened during a couple of recent tests of the Lightning pickup truck.
Did that happen
to
the actual
pickup? You can still go 150 to 200 at your lower mileage rate as opposed to 400 when you're not doing anything. That's a big difference.
No, it's huge. But question was that a test or that happened to someone we know?
A magazine did a test, and another testing company did a test on the Ford. The Lightning's the only one that's out there to be able to be tested because it's in production. But it was a test, deliberately loaded up vehicle to see just how far they could go before they needed to find a charging station.
Right, and the reason
it wasn't very far. It was under 100 miles. Both tests.
See, I think the best test Car Keys ever did, and this was years and years ago, was the test that Robin did with the Nissan Leaf. No, I'm not kidding, because that was, you know, you put down the magazine and take out the Leaf, and he was, what were you doing, coasting down Route 4? What happened? Do you remember?
Well, the Leaf I tested was delivered to its primary user for the weekend, and I got to test it, and I basically drove it. It was already depleted. It did not have a full battery charge, so I don't think my test was really indicative of what the result was, which is basically I coasted into the principal user's driveway. Allegedly no miles. It was on an electric power, but the gauge said it was basically depleted. And he did not have a charging station at his home because it was in the early days, and it was going to be picked up by a vehicle carrier at the end of the weekend. But we basically ran out of power. And I don't know what the total mileage was on it.
But it wasn't very much. At the time, so the story gets better with telling. But at the time, it was not.
Yeah, the Leaf. I'm sure it was low because the Leaf never had a very
range. Long range anyways.
Yeah.
As the early ones didn't. But they've all gotten better. And now you can get. A friend of mine just bought the BMW. I think the moniker on the back is iX. Which is fully electric SUV, and it's got a stated range. It was fully loaded. It was an unsold floor model, 320 or 30 miles without before you started to load up the usage on the batteries besides just driving the car. And 300 miles is really the minimum I could even think about for most vehicles. Does it loosen up a 500-mile range vehicle out, Jay?
The Lucid Air has a 500-mile range.
Yeah.
What? It's there are few and far.
It's $220,000 too, or something like that.
I don't know that it's that expensive, but it's expensive.
Six figures.
I
want to rant about something while you're thinking about the next.
I'm just jumping
today.
From one thing to another. Used car market. Kind of prices had gone down a little bit. They're going back up. There's quite a bit of inventory out there.
Sure is.
So we don't expect prices to keep going up, but the average price of a used vehicle is $28,000 right now. So used cars are not inexpensive.
And these can be high mileage, not at $28,000, but still high prices at high mileage used cars. I think Honda is certifying up to 10-year-old Accords and Civics if they're even up at 100,000 miles or more.
Why wouldn't they? They'll go 250,000.
That's correct. You are correct.
So that's not really an issue. So Robin, I want to get your take and you, Jill, also on the proposed congestion pricing in New York City that the MTA wants to get going, where going in and out of the city, the lower part of Manhattan, could cost up to $120 to go in and out of the city.
Interesting. It's been proposed before. Does London have a congested pricing situation over?
I believe so. They've had it for a few years now.
Correct.
And that has been a way to keep cars out of the city. I think the MTA in New York is doing it because they need money, and they're actually their revenue is really down even post pandemic, as the traffic in and around New York City has not picked up to pre pandemic levels. So that is their main reason for these price hikes. Having said that, I was in and out again of going down to Metro New York, to the airport, one of the airports this weekend, and Saturday was just a zoo. Traffic is going every which direction. It's not like people are coming out of the city or going into the city. They're going in, they're coming out. Traffic has been absolutely crazy all around the city. Traffic patterns really have changed in the last couple of years. And I don't know what to make of it, but just noting the fact.
Okay, I'd like to get into some safety issues. We're almost there. We may be a little early, but I ran into a situation this over the weekend where somebody had come to a stop on a fairly narrow two-lane road, sort of Joe, like White Hollow, which can be a dangerous road when nobody's parked there. And they stopped, and they had their left turn signal on, and they stopped in the right lane. And I went by them, and then I stopped, and I said, this is ridiculous. First of all, I had slowed down because I thought they were going to make a left turn into a driveway, which didn't happen to exist where they actually stopped the car. It was a stone wall. And so then I went by, and I said, this is crazy. I'm going to back up and have a discussion. And I backed up and blocked the roadway and had a discussion with its owner. And I first told the owner to go around and look at what signal light was going on. I said, use your flashers when you're parked, or at least put the right signal on, the right size signal on when you're parked. But, I was as polite as I could be. He got the point. But whether he'll never do it again, I don't know.
But what
the turn signal usage is just outrageously non-existent.
Because there's no understanding of what you're trying to communicate, what it's trying to communicate, which is daft. But I had a similar situation. I did not get out and stop it, but I was just incandescent in the privacy of my own car, simply because, once again, if you are on a small two-lane road and you decide to stop and sit there like a lout, fine. But does it never occur to you that someone might want to drive by you? Yeah, and this is the part. The lack of consciousness is rant-worthy. So carry on.
Okay. Well, we have a road that diverts at a top of a hill leaving Lakeville, and oncoming traffic has to stop, and you sit there and wait to see what the upcoming uphill traffic is going to do. And the number of people that don't use their signal either way to stay in the lane they're in or cross across in front of the stopped vehicles is better than 50% sometimes. If somebody's got their signal on, the people behind might realize that they should do it too, but a lot of people do not turn their signal light on, indicating which direction they're going to go when the road diverges. And that kind of thing is just careless, in my viewpoint. Jay, to you on safety, more safety.
Hey, I just want to talk about, before we finish here, this is a big week coming up, Labor Day weekend. We're lucky to live right next to this beautiful facility called Lime Rock Park. There's a lot going on there this weekend. For those of you who are into vintage cars, there will be racing there all weekend, almost all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Monday, and as usual, a car show on Sunday. And I will be spending most of my time there over the weekend. And I invite people to, you know, even if you're not into racing, to at least make it to the car show on Sunday. And also, do not miss the parade on Thursday. What is it, 4 o'clock, Jill? I'm sure you guys will be repeating this.
It's right around there. It's the race car parade. When is the race car parade? On Thursday? I know it's on Thursday. What time do they usually start? 4:30?
4 o'clock. Starts from the Lime Rock Park and ends up in the center of Falls Village. And it's a great little party going on right in the middle of Falls Village if people want to make it all the way there and see all of those cars up close. It's always a lot of fun.
And it's got the sound that you don't need to create, what was it, through the car speakers?
Correct. I think the cars are 30 years or older. I don't know what the rule is, but there will be some really old cars.
I know, but it's just like, you know, when you hear that sound, I don't care whether you were born, you know, yesterday or born decades ago. You know, it's you know what's coming. You know what's going to happen. It's just great. And to think that you can synthesize it or sort of recreate it, you know, artificially is just, you know, like, great. Who thought of that? Great. Now unthink of it. All right. You've got 30 seconds, Robin.
Well, I want to just say I have been driving my vintage Audi A8, which is the original size, very nice size car recently. And what I really have found appealing is that when I am on cruise control and I am coasting down a hill that I do not need to brake for or to slow down or keep the speed the same, which all the new cruise controls do on many of the European cars, if not the American cars, it is nice to be able to know if you're set at 50 miles an hour on cruise control that the car will allow you to coast itself up to 60, 65 at the bottom of the hill, and you can roll out and let yourself naturally slow back down as it resumes heading towards the set speed of 50 without artificial braking. And some of these older cars have these simple features that you don't realize are actually quite nice when you get a chance to revisit these cars and drive them and see how practical some aspects of them are against some of the new technology that is being fed us veil of safety needs.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.